It is most appropriate at this time of Advent to celebrate the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. As we heard in today's Gospel, the Evangelist Luke presents the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel coming to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, and the greetings, which he greeted Mary, just saying, "Hail, full of grace." I always question myself, why would he, the angel, call Mary full of grace? Because perhaps many of us will see that indeed she was full of grace. We have no doubt about it. But we came to know Mary because she said yes when the angel said that she would bear a son, even though she asked how could that be if she was not married yet. And when the angel explained to her, she said, "Yes, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be done to me according to God's will." But the greeting from the angel came before Mary answered anything, meaning her grace was already within her. Usually we see the image of the Immaculate Conception, the one so beautiful that we have here on the altar, patroness of the United States, of America, and so many other countries, stepping on a serpent, as we heard in today's first reading, when Adam and Eve made bad choices, I put it this way, in the Garden of Eden. And they wanted to be like God. That's what the tree of knowledge represents. They wanted to be more. They were not happy enough to have everything that was possible. That's why it is called a paradise. But because they were tempted, they said, "If we can get more, let us get more." But it was not to be. But even that, when they turned their back from God and said, "No, we are not happy that you are putting limits. We want everything and a little more. We will be just like God's." God, even though expelled them from that Garden of Eden, also gave them that hope and say, one day, the head of the serpent, this evil, will be crushed. That's why it's beautiful also, and on this date that we begin the extraordinary jubilee of mercy, which is very important for, I believe, for the moment that we live in the world, not only the church. The story of jubilees began, well, first of all, they come from the Hebrew experience. The Jewish, they used to have, or they have still, the books the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, that would say that the Sabbath was the sacred day. And when they had the Sabbath of year would be to mark a very special year as well. And when they had 7 times 7 years, or 49 years, or the 50th, it should be a year of jubilee for all the people. When the slaves would be set free, when the land would go back to its original honor, when all debts would be forgiven, when reconciliation should come about. That was the year of grace, the year of jubilee of the Lord, every 50 years. It didn't happen all the time historically, but it was on base of that in the year, in the 1300, Pope, not sure, perhaps, I think it's Innocent the Third. You can check that out in Wikipedia, if I'm right or not. Probably I'm wrong, because of all the names of popes and, you know, second, third, fourth, but I think it was... He established into the church the idea of jubilee. Or a year when the graces of God should be so abundant, so felt by everyone. And it has been since, I believe, 26 jubilees in history, since 1300. So it's not something that happens that often. Last one, we are happy, it was not too long ago, it was the year 2000. The extraordinary jubilee of the 2000 years of Jesus' birth. And now we have this one Pope Francis invited the church to celebrate, especially the mercy of God. And I believe putting the beginning on the feast of the Immaculate Conception is so meaningful, because the mercy of God is the only grace possible to return all creation to its original state, the grace of the presence of God. Because we, as we saw in today's first read of the book of Genesis, we also commit our sins, our mistakes. Yet the Lord, time and again, He will extend His hands, so to speak, and say, and bring us back to Him, because God wants His creation close to Him. And the best way that He did that was sending His only Son, who was born of the Virgin, so that He would show us the way back to the Lord and would grant the forgiveness, the mercy that we need. Though sinners we are, it is God's mercy that will grant us the dignity that we seek in life. So as we open this Jubilee of Mercy, celebrating the Immaculate Conception, may the Lord give us a listening heart to listen carefully to God's words, as Mary did, and also a generous heart to answer yes to His call. He called Mary to a mission, very important one. He will call each one of us for a mission. Be it in our families, in our work, in our circle of friends or with strangers, He will call us. Perhaps you see it's not as big as Mary's, but it's still important. May we have a generous heart and say, yes, Lord, we are your servants. We are here to do your will. So that our celebration and our devotion to the Blessed Mother will not be only in words, will not be only our admiration towards the Blessed Mother, but that will be transformed in actions from our part in a time, in a world that needs so much mercy. We've seen that more and more hate seems to be building up in so many places. We should counterattack that with mercy. That's our strength. That's how the war on violence, of senseless killings will end, when we believe truly in the Word of God, and when we trust that God's mercy can transform our hearts and can transform our world. It's not that we have to do much, but we have to let God do the work through us. We have to become the instruments, the servants, as Mary said, the handmaid, the servants, and say, let it be done according to God's words into our lives as well. Then our devotion will be more meaningful. It won't be just words, it will be felt with our very lives.